Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Knapsack for another edition of Star Wars Ranked, the 110th edition of the show in which we, with a good cheerful heart, rank things in Star Wars. It's not too serious, but it also is everything to us. That's what it is to be a Star Wars fan. And with me today is Joseph Scrimshaw, ready to rank. How are you, friend?
I'm doing well. I'm trying to make sure that my heart is cheerful and not grumpy. Don't want to have a grumpy heart on your show.
You don't. I don't like the, I think you and I are similar, which is why we work so well on Force Center. I love ranking stuff. I love going, yeah, I think I put this one above. But there's so much of that, like, you got to get rid of one. And if you put something number two, it means you hate the thing at number three. And I'm just like, can we all just enjoy this? Which has been our theme for a long time here in Force Center, but it's just even more so lately.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying. This show is always a sharing of things that we love. And not a declaration of which things are dumb.
Well, and you know, kudos to the Force Center fans who have, number one, have always got that. And sometimes you do, and we want to hear, you can tweet back to us and use the hashtag Star Wars Ranked and join the conversation, as we'd say. It's always just been, and that's a credit to our fans here. I always tell the story of a couple years ago as a joke, I ranked my top 10
fast food hamburgers, and the people that came out of the woodwork to fight with me on where I put the double Western bacon cheeseburger or whatever. I was just like, I can't anymore. So this is just a wonderful conversation with numbers and lists involved.
Yeah. And like the obviously you can have, you can, you know, chemically break down burgers and analyze which is best on a, I don't know, a chemical level, but like those are literally taste buds in your mouth that are yours.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I get grump. I don't like In-N-Out burgers that much. I think they're overrated, but again, it's because of the specific taste. Star Wars, everything has a specific taste to our Star Wars taste buds. And that's what we're here today for.
I can't wait to put these Star Wars things in our mouths.
Well, hey, you know, I'm sure as a kid, I put a Kenner figure in my mouth at some point. So,
oh yes.
Oh yes. Yeah. So here's today's episode. This is our favorite interior locations. We're going indoors. And this happened, I love it. Sometimes we bounce ideas back and forth, and I just wanted to maybe go our favorite locations in Star Wars, and that could be a lot of things, and it's very much in the movies or shows too, animated shows, but just, you know, what are the locations? What are the things that happen there that we love? And you came back with a real specific note that I thought really am excited to get to. And we're going indoors. Our favorite interior locations. That's not spaceships. You know, we're not necessarily going to go hang out in Lando's closet on the Falcon, though. It's a great spot to hang out in. This is Joseph. Correct me if I'm wrong. This is like actual physical indoor locations in Star Wars.
Yeah, and I thought that it might be fun since we have all spent a lot of time indoors, and you know we are heading towards the hopeful moments where that is going to be wrapping up. But for me, it's definitely reflected. I've had the opportunity to reflect a lot on. What kind of indoor experience do I want? What kind of spaces make me happy? Or in the case of Star Wars, you know, kind of light up my imagination in that, like, ooh, where would I sit if I lived there? Where would I put my television if I lived in that Star Wars space?
Oh, yeah, that's great. Mm, yeah.
But you also just, you know, which ones are cool, too.
Yeah, yeah. And just inspire some stuff and make you think. So as always, we're going to work our way 5-1. We'll have some honorable mentions. And there's potentially a lot of honorable mentions, but we'll get to that. So without further ado, let's dive right in. Joseph, what is your number 5 favorite interior indoor location in Star Wars?
My number 5 starts with a space that I think I probably am just relating to right now. It's a space that has lived in my imagination for a long time. And it is Obi-Wan Kenobi's hut. On Tatooine.
There it is.
Yeah. It's just, I think we do get to see in Star Wars throughout, we get to see a ton of different living spaces. But this is, of course, from the original film. It is the home of one of my favorite characters. But I also just, I love imagining Obi-Wan, you know, he's going to be on Tatooine. He finds a place reasonably close to Luke and the Lars, but still a hike away because the Lars don't want him, you know, camping out, you know, right on the farm. And then how much it's decorated, right? We really looked at it. This is one of those things I've seen a million times, but when you and I did that episode where we really broke down that scene, Obi-Wan's hut of exposition, where he tells Luke about the lightsaber, about his father, about the Force, everything, and just really look at the amount of stuff that Obi-Wan has.
Right.
Like, did he find the hut that way? Or was he really like, I'm here. This is a difficult time in my life. It's a difficult time for the galaxy. I've got a lot to overcome. I got to just kind of have some fun stuff around me. I got some stuff to, you know, cook and make myself a nice meal.
Yeah.
It is one of those spaces that you can just sort of, it is both like that's Obi-Wan, you know, the first Jedi Knight, the first Jedi Master we meet. That's his home. But then it's also like a guy down in his luck, building a kind of a home after a kind of a rocky breakup with the galaxy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've always loved this idea. Yeah, you know, the little chest that he has the lightsaber in, everything similar to the one in with Maz later on. I thought, yeah, just there's a lot of detail because, you know, at the time Lucas is just like, you know, he doesn't know, he has an idea, but but now if they were to do it, there'd be like a locket with Satine's picture in it or something. It's all random stuff. So I've always wondered, like, what do they envision that stuff to mean to him? And And I love what you're saying of did he get this apartment furnished?
Or did he just slowly collect stuff? Because there is a lot going on in it. I'm pulling up a photo as I look. But yeah, it's got a great mood. And I think, like I was saying, some of the things on my list are just aesthetically amazing spaces or spaces yeah. I'd like to take a tour in. After this year of spending a lot of time inside, there's also spaces where, like, you know, I wouldn't mind living there. And yeah. I look at this space, I'm really like, yeah, you know, connected to everybody on the internet. I could do Zoom meetings from there. I can record podcasts on Zencastr, but nice, peaceful vista. Got a weird little space stove. Where would I put my television? I could chill where Obi-Wan chilled.
You know, years ago, remember they did that thing? They built like a real life Simpsons house and like gave it away or something like that. If they were to build a real life Obi-Wan hut and you could move in, I don't know what Sarah would think, but I know you'd probably be happy. I'd probably be happy too. I know Grace would come with me as well, but I know what you mean. I just look at that and go, yeah, there's some comfort in there. I think maybe I'm a hermit.
Yeah, it's a cozy little hermit hut and I love it. So that's my number five, Obi-Wan's hut.
Great start to the list. Love that. I would expect nothing less there. My number five is, we're probably not surprising if, you listen to me enough here on this this old podcast feed. I am going to Endor, but I'm specifically going to Bright Tree Village and specifically going to what I call the Great Hall of Bright Tree Village. I have grown my obsession with Bright Tree Village has just grown over the years. I have to admit that. I blame Jennifer for starting a lot of that too. And also my friend Madeline Rue, who's a great author, but she's a big Ewok fan. And just hearing her just talk about the village and everything that I just always kind of, you know, other people's love and excitement and passion can sometimes bleed into your own fandoms, which is why I love being positive and celebrating things. So I love everything going on there. I love, you got the big speech, you got the Walklings, you got 3PO telling the story, stating the hey, this is a reason you should help us. We're connected. We're fighting the same enemy. You got Han and Leia kind of listening and, Wicket kind of comforting them on the sad news. One of my favorite little moments. Luke in the back. There's so much going on. But I love that really this is the spot where Chirpa probably rules. Low Gray's whispering in his ear. And this is all presented, Ed. It all comes down to those two deciding to help, right? Like, this is almost medieval. This is like a Lord of the Rings, Rohan, Great Hall, or you know, someone Game of Thrones, or anything like that. And I love it. And I love that the Ewoks have that kind of their own culture, their own place. It's the center of the village. It's a town hall. It's a great hall. It's all those kind of things. And I've become just fascinated with it. I would love to just see it. Not that I need a Lego playset of just the hall but just like, I'd love to see what it actually looks like and get a little scope. And, I just love it. I love it. I'm obsessed with it. And I just love that there's a important decision that happens inside that great hall.
Yeah. There's just something very, I love everything you're saying about it is a medieval hall and a decision is being made, but there's still something sort of like warm and cozy about it, right? I think it's the fact that it's you're up in a tree and this is a community's place to gather for story and decision time. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's such a great moment in the middle of this big, you know, breakneck action movie adventure serial where 3PO is just honestly like, here's all the crap we've been through.
Yeah.
Here's who these intruders on your planet are. Here are the people who are threatening the soul trees. Here's the pain that this guy, Han Solo, that you were going to eat. Here's what he went through, you know, and they're all just sitting there listening. Yeah. The shot of the parent with the Walkling, just it gives it this sense that they gather there and really talk about it when there's like a major problem. But also that's like maybe where they just gather for community. You know, whatever the Ewok version of bingo is, they play it in that hall, you know?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Yeah, no, just the reactions and, you know, the you said community. That's what I think about a lot when I'm watching in there. Just like they all came here to hear the story, but hear the future of what to do. And are they going to get involved? And how are they going to fight back? And we always talk about the importance of the Ewoks' involvement. So I love it. And then, you know, who doesn't love 3PL going nooch Vader? It's all great. It's all fun. It's a great scene. And I love it there.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the best scenes. Great pick. Mm-hmm.
There we go. We're off and running. Our number fives are in the books, but now it's up to your number four.
My number four is kind of a place of community in an odd way. And it was one that, you know, sometimes when you do Star Wars rank, you start going for the deep cuts in your mind. And I pulled back and realized, oh, this is an obvious space that I definitely would want to spend time in. And that is the Jedi Council Chamber, high atop the Jedi Temple on Coruscant. Yeah. I love the aesthetic of it. I love that it's this mix of, you know, just sort of like bare, and it is just about its purpose. But it also has this ornate, beautiful floor. It's got this philosophy of like, we can all see everything kind of going on around us. This is our private chamber, but it is open to Coruscant. It is open to the outside world. And we're always remembering that the things we're discussing here are all about what is best for the world out there that we can all see. I love that they've got just those simple just utilitarian chairs, but they're all different for the different species. So if you ever see like models or illustrations where they're not in the chairs, like, oh, that one's for that body type. That one's for that body type. That's a fun, cool thing. But I think the reason we see plenty of scenes of conflict. Most of the scenes we see in that are scenes of conflict or stress. But I think also for me, I react to it and have this desire to be in it because it's like representative of the way I like to communicate with groups. This is kind of a weird poll, but go with me on this. When you like go to like a big gathering at like a bar or whatever, I always love it when people get seated in like a large round circle instead of like a long table where it's like, I'm here with 17 people and I'm talking to the four that are next to me or across from me. And that's it. And it's like I didn't even go to dinner with Dave down there, you know? Yeah. And a circle is just a circle of conversation is magic. Everyone can see one another, and it doesn't as often break off into separate conversations. It becomes this weird community thing where you're all talking about the same thing and you're all having this true communal experience. And everyone who's there is there. And I'm definitely, and I think a lot of people having, as we're preparing to get back to the world, the old social anxieties are amplified. And I have certain social interactions with groups where I just feel electrified and I just feel so much better for having had the social interaction, and other times where it's stressful. And for me, a thing that makes it not stressful is everybody sitting around in a circle. We can all see one another. We can all share the same topic, and the conversation becomes great because everybody's given their input. And the Jedi Council Chamber strangely makes me think of all that, because if I had my way, I would just make large groups always sit in circles.
No, absolutely. I loathe the parties where you get stuck. You might get stuck with a dud. You know, I'm sitting across from Bob's accountant friend, and no offense to him, but I'm here for Joe.
Right. And you can hear the conversation that you want to be involved in on the other end of the table, or vice versa.
Yeah. And then, you know, half the time, you know, you might, you end up becoming friends with Bob's account. No, everything you're saying about the chambers is so right about the Jedi themselves. It is for its purpose. It is to see the world around them, to make these more, but it has history, but it's also directed to the point. It's so well designed. Down to the individual chairs, always I've been obsessed with, in a sense, because, you know, I love those little weird logistics that we don't get to deal with in Star Wars. They're just like, who comes in and goes, all right, Oppo Rancisis has just been promoted. What chair does he need?
I love the idea, of like Jedi carpenters who are just waiting, like, who's going to get promoted because we need to make their chair?
Yeah. Yeah, or Obi-Wan, can you come here? What, it's your, we got to measure your butt. All right, come in here.
Is that, are butts from Stujon different, or are those, okay?
Yeah, and it's, I don't need those answers. It's always half jokey, but I love thinking about that kind of stuff. And you know, does at one point, does Yoda sit in one of those little egg chairs and go, right one, this is not. Another size for me, please. Like, I love that.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. And I know that there is also that the element of the Jedi Council Chamber that is like, you know, the hot seat in the middle, the standing there, right? And there are definitely some dynamics there. But that's fun, too, to imagine okay, when you're in the chamber, you know, and you're not on the council, you know exactly your place. You know where to stand and you know what this is about. I don't know. It's just a space that you see used in such a traditional way where there's no ambiguity about where to stand or what's going on.
Love it. That's great. That's a good one.
My number four, Jedi Council Chamber.
Well, my number four ends up being kind of maybe on the opposite end of that. I didn't intend that, but this works and syncs up nicely. Today, we're kind of surprising each other. A lot of times, sometimes we'll work on the, we'll submit the list and we know what's coming. Today, I'm surprising Joseph here a little bit. This works up. My number four is Vader's Isolation Chamber on the Superstar Destroyer. So it's a location inside a location. Obsessed with it as a kid. Obsessed with, you know, what goes on in there. Vader just kind of, you know, hanging out. Is he playing video games? What's he doing there? Because he could communicate. So is he having meetings? Is he taking calls? I understood early on it was a meditation chamber that was probably explained to me. I saw Jedi first, so I knew what was under there. When I saw the reveal in Empire, I wasn't like, ooh, what's under his mask? I knew. I was like, hey, it's Sebastian Shaw's there. So I just love it. And I just love that people know it's there and they have to wait. And there's a whole process to it and the sounds, everything. It's just, it intrigued me as a kid. And I, you know, I don't have like a, you know, what are they? You can get those kind of like chambers to sleep in or something like that. If you're, what are, I don't have those, don't have a desire for that, but I do kind of want a full replica of these. If I could just play my MLB The Show on the screen there. And a little, like, I'd put this in my backyard.
Oh, yeah.
You can get those, like, detached, like, shed office things that have, like, lights and electricity and everything, cost a lot of money. I'd want the Vader Isolation Chamber.
That is, yeah, totally understandable.
Yeah. So, and it's the opposite. It's literally the opposite of what you're describing with the Jedi Council.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense that, like, yeah, we want you as a Sith. I mean, Jedi would certainly like go alone and meditate, right? But the fact that it's isolation, it is very Sith like go in there and stew on what you're angry about. which I'm sure is not the way you would use it.
No. Well, you know, it depends. But no windows. You choose to communicate with, you know, you can't just see the world. The world's not coming to you. You get to choose. There's a lot there and we can get into the symbolism of it, but also just one of those little thoughts of just like, because there's just so, it's not like he's just sitting in, there's things to do in there.
Oh,
yeah. Like, what's Vader doing?
He's got a Game Boy. Yeah. Yeah, and it's also such a power move, right, that when he calls people to wait for him and the whole thing opens and then he rotates his chair as if to say, I was facing another way doing another thing and I had to turn around to pay attention to you.
Yeah.
I was busy, man.
He's as clumsy as he's as stupid. Yeah, and then conversation over, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you met our servant Zach. Chair turns around.
Yeah. I've been thinking about this a lot about, you know, how much we, I think many of us crave feeling connected.
Yeah.
But then sometimes we crave feeling disconnected, right?
Yes.
And we live in a time where your phone can beep eight different ways to let you know that people are reaching out to you. And I think sometimes people just want their totally alone time. I think there's this fascinating thing going on right now where, for a long time, people have kind of been down on email because it's the thing where, you know, all these messages flood in. But now those are texts. And now people are starting to go. I saw my first tweet was like, I want texts that turn off for hours at a time so that people can't reach me. It's like, it's not the emails or the texts. It's not the medium. It's the being able to be reached by everyone at all times. And that's all I can think of right now when you are talking about this of like, that would be like the Vader isolation cage would be some sort of like a Faraday cage where like no signals would get in. Right. So when you can are in there doing MLB, that's it.
That's it. That's that appeals to me. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I remember coming home from dinner and you'd see, let me check messages to see who reached out to me. It was a different time, kids, different time. And I think a little bit of Vader. Yeah. And the bravery it kind of takes to go bother him, you know, Piet, Veers, anyone, certain point of view story with Piet, I think there's a little bit of that of just like, you got to go bother him while he's in that chamber. When that thing, you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, Vader was just in there listening to Fleetwood Mac or whatever band Vader loves.
Tusk. What beers? Yeah.
That's a great choice.
So that's my number four, which means we're up to your number three favorite interior location in Star Wars.
My number three is kind of a weird one, but it is one that both you and I have commented on when it has reason to pass our Star Wars radar, a ping on our Star Wars radar, and it is Felucian farmer houses.
Yes.
It is, of course, we get to see them in the Clone Wars episode Bounty Hunters. And then on the Felucia map on Star Wars Battlefront 2, maybe other video games, but I'm not as familiar with this. I know it from Battlefront 2, this most recent one. You get to go inside it, and it is just, it's the best little house that's kind of private, but clearly still part of a community. And this is one of the living spaces in Star Wars that I think I've reacted to, much like when you watch like a show where people are building their own homes, right? And you really have that reaction of like, ooh, no, I want to live there. Because it just looks like such a cozy space. If you're not familiar with it off the top of your head, it's this orb-like thing with lots of big windows so you can see out onto your crops. You can see if anybody else is coming over to your house for sure. But then it's got this opening down to the cellar, which is clearly like a little bit more of a private area. So it's this great mix of it is open to the beautiful Felucia environment. The upper level is clearly like an open space Star Wars floor plan with kitchen, a little dining room. But then you can go downstairs to like your little private area.
Yes.
Where if you're a Felucian, that's where you listen to Fleetwood Mac. I don't know why I'm on Fleetwood Mac today.
It's
a Fleetwood Mac day. I don't know. But yeah, I think it's just one of these Star Wars spaces that is incredibly well designed. It looks like Star Wars, but it looks really, really livable.
It looks like something you'd see at Epcot Center. It looks like a vision of the future. You know, in the future, our apartments will look like this. You could listen to Fleetwood Mac here on your electronic device. It's a dreamy sci-fi design that's also homey, earthy, organic, with keeping a little bit with what's going on there in Felucia. It's a weird. I've talked about it. We talked about the Clone Wars episode when we touched on these on Battlefront 2. I just go up there every time when I'm on that map, and I just scope it out, try to rent it.
Yeah, this is definitely like an Airbnb. I would definitely Airbnb the Felucia Farmer House.
So good. So good. Underrated. Great Clone Wars pool for that one.
It's yeah.
Just, you know, and Clone Wars just has that ability. You get a lot of wonderful little weird locations and very small villages and a lot of different kind of places to stay. And it's one of the standouts. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Let me ask you a question about the Felucia Farmhouse.
Yes.
A big part of it is it's cozy, but those windows are wide open and you could be seeing into other Felucia farmhouses. Does that bother you?
It does a little bit. I'm good. I love a lot of sunshine coming on in. Love that. But yeah, I am. There's always a little bit of a nipping at each other in the morning. When I wake up in the morning, I keep all the curtains closed until noon. Grace is like, we're up, open, sun in. Let's get the vibe going. And she's probably more right than me. But but I think by 5 p.m. I'd be all windows open here in the Felucian farmhouse.
Yeah. Just go puttering about your day. It looks great. Looks like a lovely little place to do some reading, some writing. Want to visit that farmhouse. Yeah. So that's my number three, Ken.
Yeah, it's a great writer's getaway. Good number three. My number three, it's a living space as well. It's not as cozy or comfortable, but it's charming in its own way, probably because of the person who resides inside. I am going with Rey's AT-AT studio apartment.
Oh, wow.
So again, a lot of this, you know, as a lot of our love of Star Wars comes, from the early days and things you were obsessed with as a kid, when you were just watching these wild, crazy space movies, whatever generation you are, it doesn't matter to me. But for me, I was always obsessed with the walkers, the Imperial walkers, the AT-ATs, if you will, because I'm a Kenner kid. And I've talked about it before when we did the scene by scene with Vader and Luke coming out of the Falcon when Luke, or the walker, when Luke turns himself into Vader in Return of the Jedi. just that glimpse of the interior of the Walker inspired so many thoughts of me as a kid. So to finally hear you're in Force Awakens, you know, they do the reveal, you know, Rey's inside. You don't know when they pull back and she's in a down Walker. I let out a big, yo, yeah, just that, you know, couldn't articulate the words. Just I loved it. And then to watch it again, I think I know I'm so not alone in this, but some of my favorite moments of the sequel trilogies are Rey on Jakku in the beginning, where you're getting to know her. It is her save the cat moments. It's her setting the tone, and it's this naive, just wonder, naive worry, and the big adventure is still out in front of her, and everything about that. And you see how hard she fights to get just one portion of food, and then you could see the wonderful practical prop. It's just, and then her marking the days there, and then just it's in the shadow of what came before, literally. And it scratched that itch as a kid of me going, oh, that's what the inside looks like. And yes, I know there's cross-section books and all this. Sometimes I just keep it simple. I just love it. And you talk about, you know, Kenobi's hut and would you want to live there in Felucian apartments? You know, I'm not saying I want to live as a scavenger on Jakku, but I'm just looking at it. I'm like, you know, that is someone who really survived on her own, made the best of what she was given and made the life for herself that she could while she found her place in the galaxy. And I love everything about it. I love the little hammock. I could daydream about living in a down Walker more than probably I would think as a Star Wars fan. So that's why it's my number three, Rey's studio apartment inside the downed AT-AT.
That is just a great choice. I think there's so many things that you touched on that are so great. I think there's so much about the sequel trilogy that, you know, people obviously have lots of different strong opinions. They have a right to have strong opinions about, you know, what's too much nostalgia, you know, what's enough. But to me, it's always framed from the perspective of that is one of the things that the sequel trilogy is explicitly about. And mm-hmm. this is one of the just the real visual reminders of that, of there is a corollary between fans who grew up with Star Wars, no matter what era, as you said, you started growing up with Star Wars. And, you know, how could the shadow of hero worshiping Vader affect you with Kylo and with Rey? You know, how could growing up with Luke Skywalker as a myth affect you? And then all that is kind of literalized in this almost like childlike perspective that you can literally had of like, what would it be like to crawl inside this galaxy and live in it and live specifically in this vehicle? What's it like in there? And what would it be to live inside this galaxy? And I just think it's powerful to her story in Star Wars of, you know, she's literally living inside the wreckage of past wars, you know, having a hard time escaping the shadow of what came before she even knows how true that is for her. Mm-hmm. But then there's also just this kind of great meta element of that is partially what the sequel trilogy is about, for better or worse. It is about this next generation kind of being like us and living inside the galaxy, you know, and living with the legends, living inside the vehicles of the past.
Eating some Ryzen space bread, dealing with the past while you look to the future. Yeah, it's all there. Love it. Great description of that. And I don't think we have a lot of merch of that. You know, we don't have the Rey inside AT-AT Walker apartment playset, but I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so another thing for me that I really respond to, it's such a limited space. I've had lots of times in my life where I've kind of looked at limited space and there's almost that fantasy of, ooh, what would it be like to just really be stripped down to the basics? And oftentimes that's like, if I was just alone in there and could I play some video games, you know, and have somewhere to cook, then I'm good. And I love that in the Before the Awakening book, we learn that Rey, that's one of the ways that Rey learns to fly, is she has basically a flight video game in there.
Yeah.
So the fact that, that's so cool. And she gets to play video games in there.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, because she's just kind of in the front part of it. Right? Yeah, there's other places to explore. I wonder if there's a back room. Does she have a rec room? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's bigger than a studio apartment. That is my number three, which means we're up to your number two.
My number two is a very small space, but I had to be honest, it's one of my favorite indoor spaces. It is the Uneti Tree Library on Octo. Yes. I almost just described went with like the huts, because those are, you know, very fun, very spare spaces. Mm-hmm. But man, one of my favorite things to do is read, is to be around books and to be around the sort of the sense of peace that for me just kind of exudes from having a book. And you can pick it up and you can go on an adventure. But in real life, it's just you and that book, and you're kind of in this place of stillness. And that whole design and that idea that this is this very small library containing all of this knowledge, their physical books, which are rare in Star Wars. And then, you know, the light side being so connected to the flowing in the organic, and that it's all just in this tree, this giant tree that you can actually walk into. And I love all the scenes that happen there. I love the depth of them. I love the meaning of them. Even some great comedy moments from both Mark Hamill and Daisy Ridley. But also there's the just sort of like, and I don't know if there's room for a cot, but I would love to be able to have my own Unetti tree library and like have to pick like these. I have a stack of probably literally 40 books that I'm going to read next. Yeah. And if I was really like, okay, you can go sit in the tree, you can bring only 7 of your going to read next, because that's all the room in the tree library. You just bring a little stool, or maybe there's a little bit of a gnarled tree that's very comfy to sit on. Bring a little drink to sip and just sit inside a tree and read. Come on. That's a dream come true.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I know you and Sarah, much like Grace and I, love going to gardens, Descanso Gardens or Huntington Gardens. It's you can almost see it at Descanso Gardens, just like a tree with books in there.
Oh, yeah. A walk-in tree. Come on. Yeah. And I know that, you know, there's some stuff like that you can visit in the Redwoods, all that. Sure. But yeah, I would love the fantasy version of that, of just sitting in that tree library.
Yeah, no, I love that one. I it's a great choice. And there's some other maybe Octo choices you could make too. But, you know, because it was especially going into The Last Jedi when we kind of figured we saw the books in that shot from the trailer and everything. And it was like, oh, we got a Jedi temple. That opens up questions of lore and who built that and why, what and why. And those are fun things to talk about. And maybe one day we'll get specific answers. But I just thought, I just loved every moment in that. And even when Luke trying to burn it down and what it symbolized, it just, that tree really works for me in a lot of ways. You know, it's not exact one for one comparison to like the Dagobah cave or something like that, but it just keeps a tradition of organic weird spots for the Force to reside. Kind of be in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're probably getting close to, we could do a Trees of Star Wars ranked.
we'll get there.
We'll get there. We just need a few more trees. Give us some good trees, Star Wars. Come on, Andor, be full of trees.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, and full of, the idea, we've been talking a lot of Star Wars today. My mind's going blank. What was I trying to say? Oh, the merch. I would love, keep talking about merch. Merch ideas. I would love a little like house miniature of this, almost like something you'd see at Disneyland. You can go take that little boat ride and there's all the little tiny fairy tale cottages and stuff. Oh. I'd love like a miniature of this to sit on a bookshelf. That's the tree. Not even, that doesn't have to be inside. You can maybe see inside. Maybe you can see there's a spotlight on the books, but just the tree, the path, everything about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love that. That would be great. Like, get on it. Merch us.
Merch us. Well, that's a great number two. Yeah, because like I have a friend who's obsessed with the Disney miniatures that are like, you know, Main Street USA or the Jungle Cruise ride, and you can go buy these miniatures and there's a big market for them. I would love a little Star Wars detailed Star Wars miniatures, and this would probably be one of the first ones. It just kind of makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's my number two, tree library.
Good number two. We're working our way to number one, but we got to go to mine.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. it's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Number two first. And I was going to name this number one. I last minute bumped it down just because you'll see my other choice a little bit bigger. But I've talked about this one a lot. I've even posted about this one on Instagram. I'm obsessed with it in a weird way. It's a Padme's apartment / balcony, which, you know, is very open air. It's an open air apartment. Anytime they cut to that in the Clone Wars and Revenge of the Sith, it's beautiful. It's elegant. It's high class living. And, you know, hey, Padme deserves it. It also is a spot. We see it a lot where the two of them, just because of the nature of the relationship, it's one of the only places, one of the only spots where they can be themselves. It's where important truths are revealed, where Obi-Wan talks to Padme. Poor old 3PO tries to maintain it, maintain the peace there. I just love everything it represents in the story. I also think it's beautifully designed, like I said, ornate in its own way. It just it's opulent, but also simple. It's comforting. There's a lot of warm energy there. I love a good view. And so staring out onto the Coruscant horizon is beautiful. I think that's the actual picture I posted a while ago I just did a freeze frame, took a shot, and was like, God, I just love it. It's the one where Anakin's standing out there just kind of looking at it all. I just love everything about it. I still root for those crazy kids. I still wish they had a better outcome. I still do. And I still see those moments. And there's some great Clone Wars moments where he brings take home sushi and they do a little smooching and it's all there. I just love everything about it. We love Padme as a character here in Force Center. And so I always go to where Padme got to be herself. And I really love that location.
Yeah, no, that one's great. That is definitely that is beautiful and ornate, but also just feels very homey, and it feels like you could relax there. And then it always does just have that bittersweet, like, Anakin could have just said, you know what, I quit. I'm not a Jedi. I'm Mary Padme, and this is where we live. Right. What do you need done around the apartment, Padme? You know?
Yeah, and look, I love entertaining. That's a great entertaining space. Imagine come on out to the back balcony and see the world.
Yeah, and we're heading toward a good episode in Clone Wars Report where we get to spend some good apartment time.
It's true. That's true. So like I said, man, I know maybe it's a weird choice. I just love what it represents, and I love a good couch, and I love a good cushion to lean on, and it's got a lot in there. So
yes, one of the best couches in Star Wars.
Another rank yet to be done. All right, before we get to our number ones, we're going to go over some honorable mentions. What do you got, sir?
Yeah, so my number one honorable mention was very close for me. I bumped it for the Jedi Council Chamber, is the Jedi Archives, because I realized mostly just creating places, quiet places to read. Yeah. But it is one of my absolute favorites. I love the design of it. I love that kind of peaceful blue, but I love what it symbolizes, that, mm-hmm. you know, the light side of the Force is for knowledge and defense. And this is a place that is just all about knowledge. It was, you know, in Attack of the Clones, one of the things that I loved the most is really getting to see how the Jedi live, see a different Jedi space. We get to see so many different great scenes in it during the Clone Wars. Some great stuff in the Vader comic with Jocasta Nu coming back for Archives. It's a space that's just kind of grown in importance. There's a couple spaces in Disneyland that are made to look like it.
Yeah,
I love the idea of what it is, and I love the actual aesthetic of it. And I would love to go out and just check out some books and chill.
Hey, look, there's a theme. Joseph's favorite book spots in Star Wars. This is the future Solo rank will do. Great choice there. A couple others on your list.
Yeah, for me, Luke's garage. It's Anakin visits it, but you know, I really like just the vibe of that. Of like, here's where I kind of do some of my chores, but here's where I hang out and dream about the future and play with my model of my T-16 Skyhopper.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
I can't go flying now, so I'll stay at home and play. Zoom, zoom, zoom. So great.
It's so weird when you really think of that moment. I'll still grab a Lego ship or something to pretend to fly it. It's in there. It's a kid thing, I guess. It never leaves you. But I love it. That's a 19-year-old kid just going zoom, zoom, zoom.
It is. Like in the real world, you'd be like actually building Lego, you know?
Yeah.
That's a relatable space. Yeah. I really like, just for something that's just way out there different, the Kamino Spoon Room. Speaking of great chairs of Star Wars, this strangely off-putting, it should be calming, but somehow it isn't, at least to me, the glowing white room, and then the chairs lowering from the ceiling. You know, I don't know if it's something I'd like to spend a ton of time in, but man, if there was a pop-up of go sit in the Kamino spoons, I'd be there in a second.
It's a close encounter of a Kenobi kind in there.
That's what I'm here for. Yeah. I got two more, but do you want to? Paddle back to you.
I'll paddle back. You mentioned, I was going to talk, Kenobi side is an honorable mention too, all the reasons you talked about. I think we both might be listening. Chalmers Cantina, we just want to put that. We almost thought about putting in the Locations Hall of Fame, but we've also talked about great bars on Star Wars before, and a lot's been said on that wonderful cantina. So we'll go to Han and Leia's Cloud City guest room. Ooh. I think it's beautiful. It's space agey. It's similar to Padme's apartment in terms of good couch and a cushion combo. We just obviously don't spend a lot of time there. And I just like a lot of things on Cloud City, but that one I just want to highlight specifically for there.
That's a great choice.
Yeah, and I love that Lando's like, put them up in the guest suite up there. I put specifically Maz's supply closet. I touched on the chest of lightsaber goodies there. I just like, and you know, the answer why she has all that stuff, you know, a story for another time indeed. I just like that she's got a place where she's like, put it downstairs, put it in the closet. And then just who, what else is in there? I'm not an antiquer, but I don't mind popping into an antique store or kind of a nostalgia store, just kind of looking at everything that's in there. I could spend an hour and maybe try to find a used plate or something in there.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love the huge variety of Maz's castle. And that's another place that's, you know, increased my love by playing Battlefront 2, that you can go down there and you know, go down in the basement where, like, okay, I run a bar restaurant and then got some apparently incredibly valuable items down in the basement.
Yeah.
And then upstairs, some rooms to rent, you know, when you just need to chill. And I think there's that romance of sort of old school travel where you'd go to the local saloon and then you'd be, or in England, the pub, and then, you know, see if they have a room to let. And that in Battlefront 2 that you can run into like a couple of those little like, oh, you could just rent this room to crash.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Great choice. The other other choices for me, then I'll jump back to you here, is Babu Frick's workshop. So like a weird kind of antique kind of vibe, you know, that we still really haven't analyzed that battle droid being back there. So I like that one. The data vault on Scarif, just specifically to design. Is it practical? I don't know. I don't know. But the Empire definitely wanted to make it hard to steal things. And they did. And just the fact that you got like carnival kind of system to get a plush teddy bear, you have to get to work the levers. Like, oh, I mean, wow, they really put a lot of thought in that. And it it's like a lot of things in Star Wars. It's a wonderful design and it's a beautiful design. I just don't know. Is it super practical? And I don't need it to be. I just like it.
No, it is firmly in the camp of why does it work that way? Because it looks cool. That's why, you know, yes. and it does look so cool. And I love the idea that you could go in there late at night and like spin it and
yeah,
and just grab a plan and see what horrific Imperial plan you get.
I put in 5 quarters. I couldn't even get this Project Stardust out, man. Good. It's rigged. I say, final one for me. I can't remember if we talked about this on the bar episode. There's a chance we did, when we did our bar crawl on the main show. It's outdoors, but I count it as indoors. It is, the bar on Savareen.
Yeah.
Cause I love too, that just, you know, a pub is kind of the center of the village. Every plant, you need one. And even on Savareen, where it's some, you know, maybe some dire weather conditions or a lot going on, and it's also run down and overlooked, there's a lot going on there. They still know that they need a good bar. And they got a barkeep and a tap, and I love it.
That is great. Yeah, I kind of tried to keep myself away from bars because we did that very long bar crawl where we visited a lot of places. Did not keep myself in check, every location would be a bar, but I'm really glad that you highlighted that one. That's a great one.
Yeah. And it's important. It's important for Infant's Nest to be like, I can't hide anymore. Let's get a drink.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my list. What are some two, you said you had a couple more honorable mentions.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'll just throw this one in, which wasn't on my list, but we should just acknowledge it. You know, the Lodge on Vandor, that's a pretty great bar, you know, all that wood, beautiful. The other two for my list is, the Mandalore throne room. It's designed so well to have like such an aesthetic that is different, that is world building. It's got the great art. It's got those big, high, sort of gauzy windows, and so many important, cool, interesting scenes take place in that room over the whole course of the Clone Wars. So that is definitely one of those places. Like, you know, I've been to a couple of castles or big stately houses in the UK, and if you could visit that would be like, look at this beautiful room, isn't it so lovely, here's the history of this art, also here's everyone who's been murdered in this room. it would absolutely be that kind of tour, which, you know, you can get in real life.
Love that. Great choice.
Final one for me is, it's definitely got some outside elements as well, but it's the Lake Varakino Retreat on Naboo. It is, of course, the place where perhaps some of the most discussed scenes of Attack of the Clones take place. Romantic dinners, awkward fireside confessions of love and desire, all sorts of things happen there. But when I was looking through this list, I was like, I got to have the place that would be like one of the really honest, like if you're just going to actually go on a, you know, vacation retreat, where would you go? And like that place is pretty damn beautiful.
It is. And I was thinking some Naboo stuff might make the list and should. And that's a great choice and much talked about for better or worse. But
yeah.
All right. Those are our honorable mentions. We are ranking our favorite indoor locations, our interior spots of wonderment and dreams. We're going to go with my number one to close it out. And well, there's not a lot of wonderment or dreams in this one. Well, dreams, maybe visions. I don't know. I can't shy away from this one. It's where my favorite like scene in Star Wars happens. It's where a lot of important things go down, and there's a lot of questions to ask about it, and that is the Emperor's throne room.
Oh, wow.
Gotta go there. The dignitaries are hanging out. Now we know there was also a side storage spot, which I accept. I actually love that in Rise of Skywalker, because the Emperor would be like, hey, I got some things I want to store up there. Can you put it in there? And what I love about that is he had to have done that before he came to visit. And then I'm convinced that when he visited in Return of the Jedi, because that's, you know, the Emperor's coming here. That's a surprise. The dignitaries helped move that stuff in.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They were definitely directing the movers, right?
Yeah, because, you know, he's got some time on there. It's not like he lands and suddenly the rebellion is attacking. But I think he's confident. He thinks that space station is going to last. So he's like, I want to move some of my things out and put it over here. He kind of has that stuff. He even has it in his own personal ships, right? I mean, Palpatine travels with tchotchkes of the dark side. So all that makes sense. But yeah, the design, the catwalks, everything about it. It's just a great place. It's a great place of action, great set piece in the movie, but just in terms of an actual set and the design, and just to see it again, when it comes back and Rise of Skywalker, whether you love the movie or not, I don't know. I just think you can appreciate that as a location. You can appreciate what it looks like. And then to watch the documentary and see those two wonderful ladies pull out I forget their names, but they pull out the, hey, we actually went to the original designs and this is what we did. And we built on the legacy, and we imagined if the second floor had fallen down, all that the thought into what is a pretty important location for Star Wars. It's not the nicest. I'm not saying I want to live there, but a lot of big things go down there. I think about that often, Emperor's Throne Room. So I'll put that as my number one favorite indoor location.
That is really great. I think that's a great pick. I think it is, yeah, one of the most pivotal physical indoor locations in all of Star Wars. And it is just, there's something about it that is like really aesthetically pleasing. I think it fires the imagination of a little kid in particular. Like, you know, I don't know if you can kind of project back to when you were a kid and you were just like approaching a really great playset. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and you wanted to go on the swing and go across the rope bridge and swing on that thing and climb that tube. The Emperor's Throne Room just has that vibe of like, yeah. Oh, could you get up there where Luke was? Oh, could you get down underneath it and figure out where you want to hide? And you know, just kind of how scary it is that the Emperor has this throne that is elevated from everything else, and to actually kind of, you kind of have to get scary close to him if you walk all the way up there. There's just so many great dynamics to play with.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. And it means a lot. And his aesthetic is, he's got an aesthetic. He's got a look he likes and builds it in there. So from wondering what the dignitaries are talking about with him there to the great action that happens in the chorus, the choir that sings while Luke fights Vader. It's all there. It's one of my favorite locations in Star Wars, and that's why it's number one on my list. But, sir, we're up to your number one favorite all-time best interior location in Star Wars.
Very similar to your Emperor's Throne Room, this is the one I had to do because it is the truth. It is my favorite space in Star Wars. A lot of these other spaces are places where I want to, you know, read books or play video games or sip drinks, and I would be happy to do that in this space, but it's not really what it's for. Mm-hmm. It is not a super comforting space, but it is just, to me, an aesthetically incredibly beautiful, strange place, and it is the carbon freezing chamber on Bespin. The just sheer strangeness of it, that it is this very industrial space, like unlike the Emperor's Throne Room, which was probably built like to be in specific shapes to funnel, you know, Sith energy, and to look out over this and to look down on this. It's like we built it to freeze things for shipping.
Yeah.
You know, this is so your fish don't rot. You know, this is, you know, it's supposed to be just such a place of just functionality. But in the galaxy of Star Wars, it becomes this place of great fate and destiny and just gorgeous aesthetics, right? The smokiness of it, the levels of it, the lights of it. But more than anything, for me, that combination of the blue and the orange. I really love complementary colors, and a blue and orange gets used a lot now in a lot of design. It is almost to that point for a lot of visual stuff where sometimes people are like, blue and orange is overdone. But yeah. For me, especially kind of started my creative life doing painting and drawing and went to school to get a visual art degree. And I think there's a part of the pure aesthetic of the carbon freezing chamber that never left me, that mixture. It's very evocative of early pulp covers and cheap paperbacks of the 40s and 50s, of this combination of the dark and the brooding and the mysterious in the unknown with a sort of like a glaring, forbidden, lurid brightness. And, you know, in those kind of covers, you get purple and yellow. You get red and green without it being too Christmassy, amazingly. Yeah. And you get lots of blue and orange, like is so powerful in this space. So some of it to me is just purely aesthetic. And then it's what's happening in there, you know, imagining, you know, the Force is with you, young Skywalker, but you are not a Jedi yet. And Luke looking down and realizing his blaster has no place in this room. And looking up at that challenge and just all the action that happens in that room is all great, fateful Star Wars stuff. Not to even get into the actual carbon freezing of Han and how amazing and disturbing that is, and all of it happening in this place that is just sort of seared into my aesthetic tastes from seeing it and loving it at such a young age.
You know, no, I'm fascinated with the carbon freezing chamber, including the design that I think I spent a lot of my young Star Wars life thinking that those were like hallways that led off, but they're just beams, you know, design, that kind of go to a point and everything about it. And it is it's very sci-fi, it's unfamiliar, it's foreign, it's scary, it's technical. I mean, it's for, you know, transportation of items and right. And then they throw Han in there. So it becomes scary, becomes horror. And then it just all becomes so mythical, and the mist and the fog and the smokes and the lighting and the silhouette of Vader. It turns it into a heart of darkness that Luke has to go into and descend into, all those kind of things that you could pull from modern myths. It's all of it. And the throne room has its own kind of connection to that kind of stuff. But for Empire to work, it had to have that location and the way they shot Vader. We've talked about that, and Peter Cuccetti and everyone who shot that movie and made it look so different and good. That is just an epic mythical location.
Yeah. And I think that you're really, really tapping into a great part of it there, of it is so mechanical and blunt, you know, and the whirring sound of the arms grabbing the carbonite. There's so much about it that is just mechanical and for a purpose, and yet it is totally evocative of myth, of a place from a dream, and that combination is really beautiful.
It is like a dream. It's like something from a dream. Yeah, no, think about it. Love it. That is a great way to end our discussion here on our favorite interior locations in Star Wars, whether we want to live in them or fight in them or face our destiny and our fate and make the choices that we need to get beyond that to the next step. It's all there, and it's all part of the love of Star Wars. Joseph, thank you for inspiring this specific topic and bringing such a great and powerful list today.
Oh, this was a great, fun one. And now I just want to go find somewhere to sit and read in real life.
I am going to be doing that shortly. My couch will be my isolation chamber for a little bit here today.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. So we are almost done here. We want to thank you all for following us. You can follow us on Twitter at @ForceCenterPod. And like I said, use the hashtag #StarWarsRank to join the conversation there. We are on Instagram, YouTube. You can find us on Facebook at Force Center Podcast. You can get an audiobook on us by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Go over to the great folks at Inside Editions. Get a book there and use the checkout code FC35 and get 35% off your order there. You can get merch from us at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter Podcast, available in a lot of different spots, but try Amazon Music or Spotify if you want a different place to listen to your podcast than the old standbys. And then, of course, you can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. I'm Ked Napsok, and you can follow me at Ked Napsok or go to my website, kennapsock.com, or check out the gpa.fun and check out some of the stuff we're doing over there. Just where can they go to follow you, including maybe some of your visual arts?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for all sorts of other comedy adventures. I should put some pictures of my random weird paintings that I still have up on the website. Maybe I'll do that eventually, and you can see the one that is a squirrel that has the same color scheme as the carbon freezing chamber. All that on my website at josephscrimshaw.com.
Check it out. Check it out. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time. Star Wars has been ranked.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.